we're sort of finishing Tafnan Aparach above, and we're going to talk about kashering a glass stovetop. So before we talk about a glass stovetop, think about a regular stovetop. In a regular stovetop, food drops off of the out of pots, or people on purpose or by mistake put their pots in the middle, in the place between the burners, and so that has bleeds that are trade for milk hooks and plastics or whatever they have. For putting the pot by itself, unless something spilled, it wouldn't have a problem. But right, if there's food there, or if there's food sitting there, if there's a piece of food sitting there, and then I put the pot in it, then there would be a bleed going through to it also, if it's not perfectly clean. So, let's say it's milk hooks and plastics and it's trade, but that doesn't make a problem, because who cares? That bleed that's in there can't get into my food, because between that surface and my food, there's a grate, and then there's a pot. So there's two times that we have kalim touching each other without any bleed, without any liquid in between them. So there can't possibly, no bleed can spread from that middle area into my chalent that I'm making. It can't get there. So let it be tray. Zolzayim, let it be tray. However, in addition, usually in most people's houses, the only thing they have there is milk hooks and fleshes. So we have other clues of matbarnats also to think about. For Pesach, people will cover that with foil, because then if something touches those, someone by mistake puts food down there, they're in worse shape. Okay, because there's no matbarnats, there's no inven yarmus, all those kind of things don't help you, so people are more careful on Pesach than covered. Okay, good. But the problem with the glass stovetop is that there's one sheet of glass which is under my pot and is in between the burners. So if that spot in between the burners becomes straight, or something spills on it, or becomes milchigs, let's call it milchigs and fleshigs, then can that potentially make the food in my pot chafe? And how would it make a chafe? If something's going to spill, or if something's going to spill over there, will that make my food chafe? And so if you ask the company how you should treat this glass, it's of course very strong glass that can sit there on the fire. It's obviously not a typical glass, but they will tell you not to do anything remotely like kashering, because it's not meant to handle that kind of heat or that kind of shock. What?
You say more like kashering, what kind of
anything that you would see, okay, the things that we might think of to do for the kashering, they would be against. They wouldn't want you to do any of those kinds of things that you would think of for kashering. So plenty of Rabbanim will tell people that they should not kash those for Pesach. You should use them, and you should just, you have to, what you can do is you can replace the glass. Okay, you can, the glass is meant, you can only imagine that they can break, and they're replaceable.
So you're saying, in other words, replace it for Pesach?
But have a set form for Pesach.
It's
not meant for coming out every day of the week, but it can be replaced. Okay, I'll mention, I'll mention it while I'm here anyhow, is that I never saw this, but my wife tells me that her father, for years, had a glass stovetop, and every single year before Pesach, would take out a blowtorch and do leaven to his glass stovetop. He has no experience in kashrut. I don't know where he came to this idea from, but supposedly he did it every year. Okay.
And what? Got a red hot?
I don't know. No. I don't know how hot he got it. I don't know what he did. But do not try this at home. Okay. This is not. You're not. Don't try this. Okay. That's what he used to do. That my wife says every year she remembers her father doing this. Okay. They don't have that anymore. Now they have a regular stove. Okay. Good. And what we're here to talk about today.
How many years ago did you have a red hot? Don't
talk about
so old.
I don't know. So okay. What I'm here to talk about is Rabbi Brander made a video showing how he. Teaching his community how he could use kashrut, demonstrating to them like live how to do it. And we had to look at what he did to see what the merit is of it. I don't remember. This is a few years back when he was there. I don't think he's in that school anymore. But
he's
just
a doctor, isn't he?
I don't know. He might be here. Okay, I don't know. So we're here to think about what he did to see the merit of what he was trying to do and some of the questions on what he did also. Okay? There was much merit to what he was doing, and it has a lot to do with the halachas we've been learning the past bunch of weeks, so it's worth it to go over. Okay, what was his proposal of how to kashrut this thing? In the video, you see what he did is he took five rocks, he put four on the corners of the stovetop, one in the center, and then he built this tent of aluminum foil over the top of it. And what he said was he had the rocks there because if you put the foil right onto the glass, it could melt onto the glass. So, and then he wanted to build this like insulation to keep the heat in. But if you put something right on it, if you put a blech right across the whole thing, you will crack the glass. Because glass, it'll build up too much heat under the glass.
That's not what he said there.
Okay, rather.
You said it will melt onto the...
No, so, but if you put something, a piece of metal right onto it, not the foil might melt. If you put something else on, just flat right onto it, it'll build up so much heat as to crack the glass. But so he had his other idea. So what is he going to build this contraption? So he built this foil like tent on top of it, so it shouldn't melt onto it, and to help build up heat at the same time, but let a little heat escape. So it'll be like a compromise to let heat escape, but to let it build up. So, and then he rolled up this little piece of newspaper, and he touched it onto the glass. When I watched the video, I didn't see that it was showing any signs of being burning, but you couldn't see. It wasn't clear enough to see that, but we're taking his word on it that it changed color. No, you couldn't tell clear enough in the video. Let's accept that it changed colors. So the first question is, there's going to be 4 points we're going to talk about. The first thing is, he's trying to do Kash Nisraf, and the newspaper was the Kash, and the oven and the stovetop was going to make a Kash Nisraf. And decided to make the glass in between the burners be Kash Nisraf. So the first question was, we said to Tchaikovsky, what do you think it is to be Kash Nisraf? How would you describe Kash Nisraf? And his description was very appropriate over here, which was, he said, if you take something, a piece of paper, and it has to sit there, I think his numbers was 10 minutes, it has to sit there for 10 minutes on there until it starts turning brown, that's not Kash Nisraf. Kash Nisraf is that it's so hot that as soon as you touch it onto it, it immediately starts turning brown. I mean, it doesn't burn, and it's not going to literally catch on fire, but it'll start browning like paper does if it gets near fire. And when you put on the thing, it should immediately, not that after an extended amount of time. Because I don't
mean... If you put it on paper, will it extend amount of time catch fire? Not
catch fire, but that it will start to turn brown. If you leave if I remember he said was, if you leave it at a low temperature for a long time, it'll eventually turn brown anyhow. Okay. I'm not here to judge that, yes or no. But he said what you're looking for is that not that you should sit there, but you should touch and that you should immediately have that effect on the kash. Okay, that was the easy part. Okay, now let's think about the second point is, why do you think that you should be able to do kash nisraf? Kash nisraf is either Lieben Kal or it's Hagol. Either kash nisraf is what we call Lieben Kal, what the Hakoyis Maimini says, that's really Liebun, and that we're saying that Liebun Kal could take the place of Liebun, in some cases we could say it takes the place of Liebun, or it could be Hagol. That's a traumatization, that Liebun Kal could take the place of Hagol. We didn't really see that thing yet. So why do you think that it's good enough to do Liebun Kal, or to do Liebun Kal either as Liebun or as Hagola, but doesn't dry food ever fall into this thing? Doesn't anybody ever drop something fall out of their pot, a dry piece of food fall out of a pot and land on the thing? Someone's making pancakes, and while making pancakes, one of them misses the pot and flops and flips onto the thing. We'll come to that. But the first thing you say is, wait a second, the thing has dry, occasionally things will fall onto there that are dry and that needs Liebun. So what are you doing Liebun Kal? You should do Liebun. Okay, so the first...
Well, and then something else falls on it afterwards.
No, and then tomorrow, a pot will go there with some, that liquid will spill over onto it. Okay, no, and we said, explain this, that on a glass stovetop, it's one sheet of glass. So the blea could be on this side, and I could put my pot on the other side. I don't have to put it into the same spot. If the blea is any place, I have, any time liquid will fall over, or any time liquid spills over a pot, I have potentially a drawing of blea from there. And the whole thing gets hot. Mm-hmm. The heat spreads to a good amount of the thing. Okay, so the first thing is, see, for Pesach, we could say a Rebbe Kveger. For Pesach, here's an example of Mi Tashmisha. Rebbe Kveger says that when the Chashash is Mi Tashmisha, and that should say you should therefore need to do Libun, Memonashach, you don't have to do that. Because either Chomet is a terrible, or you don't have to be Chashash for Mi Tashmisha. So even though the Ramah is Machmir to be Chashash for Mi Tashmisha, and even though the din is that Chomet is Yisurabala, but the two of them together, Rebbe Kveger says you don't have to be Machmir for. Okay, so here's an example where he says, if you were kashing this for Pesach, not if you're moving to a new apartment, you're just kashing it for Pesach. So he says, well, occasionally a piece of dry food falls on there, and maybe chametz is isur of all of it. You have to kash it before Pesach. So good, you're not the kashing those. That would be a case of Rabbi Kveger to say that you wouldn't have, for Pesach, that you wouldn't have to do that. That's one angle to say that potentially Liebun Kal should work with. Then Rabbi Velsky said he thought the whole thing should be treated like a chatzuva. Chatzuva in the Din, the Rama said that you could do Liebun Kal. He says, if you're doing Liebun as a chumer, you could do Liebun Kal. He says, Chatzuva Tarach Liebun, which the Mishnah Berurah says, of course he means it's Liebun Kal. Chatzuva is the grape, the tripod, the grape that sits on the pot. The Din says you do Liebun Kal because there's only a chumer to kasher it anyhow. Like we said then, people use the same ones for milk and fleshings. We don't kasher it back and forth. And the reason is because we assume that the bleas that fall onto there are are burnt up immediately. Anything that falls over is burnt over immediately, and there's a continuous libun, to the, like a libun gomer kind of a libun, because the fire is burning right under there. So therefore, min hadin doesn't need it. It's a chumrah for Pesach to do it. So you do libun, but you only have to do libun kap.
So is that a real libun gomer? There's a continuous libun gomer on
there? The Mishmur says it's like a libun gomer. It's like a being. It's continuous. There's always a fire burning there, and I guess because it's
they're,
so close together.
Red hot already.
No, not red. Okay, so maybe. Oh, so here we go. There's the makar to saying that if you do a high temperature in your oven for so many hours, it should be like libun gomer, right? I don't know.
But I mean, it's hard to say. You know, it's sitting in the fire. I mean, it's hard to.
It's hard to what?
It's hard to say. It's not a libun gomer. Right. What do you do?
Soon enough, you got to figure. Imagine that within time, it's got to be libun. Okay. It's like a whole bunch of things mixed together. Rav Elsky thought that maybe we should treat the glass as a chatzuva, so you can get away with libun kal. That was a different angle, not as a krieger, as a chatzuva. To Rabbi Shechter, the obvious question on this, which Rabbi Shechter's question was, what are you saying? The Mishnah Berurah says the reasons are because it has libun all the time. It's because the stuff gets burnt up right when it spills on it, based on the dinim in your day, that things get a little bits that drip get burnt up right away. What are you saying? The glass in the middle is not so hot. It's one thing to say that about the glass that's under your food, under the pot, and it's right where the burner is. But when you move over a few inches, and it's where we think the things are spilling, over there it doesn't get so hot. Hot to say that we should burn things up right away, or hot to say that it should be leaving government. Those are the reasons that there are over there. There's a third reason, which is because it's kaelin touching each other. Oh, that applies. But it's a... So it was harder to hear that. And Rabbi Shechter, this is before he went to the Hotel Feza, Rabbi Shechter said, wait, the Ramos is in your day, and the Be'er Locha brings that, the Sharetzion brings from the base mayor, that if there's a case, we're being choshesh from your Tashmishay, will mean that you can't cash the Kli, then what's it in? No, be choshesh from your Tashmishay. The Ramos is in your day. If being choshesh from your Tashmishay will mean you won't be able to cash it, like in our case. Being choshesh from me teshmisha will mean you can't cash it. So then, what's it in? You don't have to worry about me teshmisha. Do as much as you could. So do as much as you could means do libun kal. That's all you can do. So maybe min hadin it would need libun gomer, but it's only because of the me teshmisha. The Rama says, and the Beis Meir says, but Pesach also, that you only have to be choshesh for me teshmisha if that'll let you cash it. If that means it's impossible to cash it, then you don't have to be choshesh for me teshmisha. So that's another thing. So I say this is before he went to the hotel, because a year later when he went to the hotel for Pesach, then he looked more into that din. He was not happy, if you remember from last week, I think it was 2 weeks ago, he wasn't happy about that whole din to treat this as Mitash Mishai and to make on that for Pesach. That whole thing he wasn't so happy about. But when he thought about this, at that time he was happy. Okay, so we've seen ways to get past the hurdle of kashering it because of dry food falls on it. Okay, but now to do Liban Kal, even though dry food falls on it. Okay, three possible ways to get out of it. Either because of Rabbi Krieger, or because it's a chatzuva. Rabbi Belsky said maybe it's a chatzuva. Or Rabbi Shechter said if you can't do choshesh shemit teshmisha, you don't have to. Okay. But now we have a different question. This is our next point. The din is that we don't kash a glass. So this thing is made out of glass. So forget about the mir teshmisha of the pancake that fell onto the food. What about a liquid spilled onto it? You could do hagola if it would be metal, but it's not metal. The thing is made out of glass. So what are you doing libun kal to it? But the thing, cheres needs libun gomer to it. If you have a piece of cheres, it was the first halacha. If you have a piece of cheres, it needs to be that you want to kash it. You have to do libun gomer to it. So where's the libun gomer? If we glass, we treat like cheres. So where's the libun gomer? So we haven't yet gotten to the halacha of glass yet, but there's an amazing ein file from some Chaim Chernov. I mentioned his name for sure. I may have mentioned him saying this thing, which was like this: the Rama said in halacha dal. In any case, we were machmer to do libun, then you could be mitzaref the shita of the Hagoyis Maimon, I think it is, who says that libun kal is really libun. So he said, this that we're machmer to say that glass is treated like cheres is for sure a chumrah. But the evidence, even the documentary himself says that it's mutter even. It's a chumrah to say like that. So since it's only a chumrah to say that glass can't be kashered, so or that it needs to be kashered at all, okay, so therefore, When you want a kasher glass, you could do libun kal. Okay, now none of the early posts can talk about this. None of the early posts can talk about it because there's no such hechat timsa until 50 years ago to someone to do libun kal to glass. It was ridiculous. Glass couldn't handle even a hot cup of tea in it. But the glass wasn't strong like it is now. But nowadays we have glass like this. This glass could get libun kal. So we could do libun kal. In other words, the posts don't talk about such a chesed of doing. As an example of the Ramah, because it was no such mitzvah to do libun kal in glass. But the cheshbon is, if the Rambam says, anytime you're doing liban as a chumrah, you could do liban kal, being the tzara of the shita of the hagoyis maimini, that really is liban. So we have a piece of glitz that we need to kasher. So we could do liban kal. Okay? So this is a cheshbon from Rabbi Chaim Turner, which Rabbi Shachter was very happy with. Rabelsky wasn't so convinced. I don't remember a reason why. I just have it here that he said he wasn't so convinced. Okay? But we're going to see that this cheshbon has another nafkamina that I'm not going to tell you now. It has another nafkamina, a very serious nafkamina. We'll come to it later. Okay, a different dot. Okay, so we haven't. So we've potentially gotten past that hurdle, which is that one question was, should we do Liban Gomer because the dry food falls on it? We said, okay, we have a way to get it, at least for Pesach, we have a way to get around that. Maybe for all year round also. We have another thing that we should do Liban Gomer because it's glass. So you can't do Hagol on glass. So to that we said maybe Liban Kal is good also. But then we have another problem. So this is the, well, I'm saying at least because it's going to sink the ship over here. Which is Rabbi Lubin's problem. He says, the first halacha in Tufman Aleph was that if you're afraid you're going to break the kli while you're kashering it, you're not a kasher. Now to do a kashering that is in a way that might break the kli. Well, here's the case that the company tells you, don't do it. What you're about to do, if you do it, you might break it. Not only the company, Rabbi Brander himself tells you, and make sure the foil doesn't drop down and touch onto the thing because it'll melt onto your glass and ruin your glass. So you're doing something that is, you're taking a big chance of cracking the glass, okay, and you're not following the manufacturer's instructions of how to use it, and you're doing something very unusual, so you're not allowed to cash like that. You're not allowed to cash the things that you put, what you're doing might break it, and the reason is because you might not do it for long enough. You might get nervous in the middle and stop it, which is for sure a concern over here. The person building this whole contraption and doing this thing might in the middle get cold feet and be concerned that, or you know, his judgment might be a little clouded as to when it got to kashrut and stuff, or didn't get to it, or how careful he has to be, because he's afraid that the foil is going to drip down, or it's going to get too hot, or whatever it's going to be. So, both Rabbi Belsky and Shachter Memela held that even though in din, in theory, you could do Liban Kal for this glass, so that you could do it, but you're going to run into this problem. It's an inherent problem, which is really what we started with. The problem was, the company tells you can't kashrut it. So the answer is, well, whatever you're going to tell me to do, basically, it's going to go against what the company said. And Mamela is going to make the person nervous, unless he's some super expert, or my father-in-law, some super expert who thinks he can cash it. Okay, most, for a normal person, would be afraid.
Well, how were they going to do the Liban Kal?
How was who going to do the Liban Kal?
This discussion about it. But what was the way to do it?
They were watching, they watched what Rabbi Brander said.
Oh, they did?
They watched the video. Oh, no. I showed them the video, and I said to them, I said, we took them to the movies. I said, watch the video. I said, look at what the guy, no problem. So look at what he's doing and tell me, and then we talked about whether that made sense what he was doing. No, they watched him. No, this idea. Okay, now, so Torah Rabelsky says, I have a way to do it. I have a way to catch it. He had two ideas. One was, there is such a thing, you could buy something that looks like a blech, okay, but it has cutouts where the burners are. Okay, instead of a blech, it's usually just flat, it goes all the way across. And for the purposes of a blech, of course, you want it to cover the burners. You don't gain anything if it doesn't cover the burners. But there's such a thing of thing, it looks like a blech, but where the burners would be, there's a cutout. Okay, it's just a sheet of metal. So Rebuska says, if you put that onto the glass stovetop, then what's going to happen is like this. The bulk of the heat is going to escape through those holes that are over the burners. So the thing's not going to get too hot, because most of the heat's going to be escaping. But enough heat is going to be trapped under the metal that it'll get hot, and it'll do a Liban Kal. Okay? That was one suggestion.
I'm sorry, but Brander, you are afraid. Hey, you're not afraid.
So, then I'll tell you the end of the
story. Afraid,
I will tell you. So the end of the story, before I tell you the second idea.
Try underscore crack. Glass crack.
What is it?
You just use Brander's method. Put the silver high enough, they don't ever get so hot. So you're not afraid.
Okay.
No, but they don't say, well, I'm not afraid. I'm the Moses. Tell them about that. It could do it, so therefore you're afraid, and therefore it's also to do it.
No. It does say you could be masala kashrendus. If you do it, that is clear that you're not mafrit, that you don't care.
But now it decides that it's like a whole new thing. Like, not that it's like tumor, it takes over the whole tumor.
Yes.
You know, it's a whole new cave. It's a different story.
Okay, but that's true, but that's not the only.
Well, but you put enough coals. Don't put too many coals. Just put a little bit less coals in the inside, right? The coals, and that will do the job, right?
Right. So I have to say, I'll tell you, before I tell you his second idea, then I'll tell you, rather than arguing, I'll tell you Rabbi Shechter's final words on this thing. He wrote, Kosher L'tayr Hechti Stalka Chashahu. In other words, Rabbi Belsky's coming up with, okay, I have a new idea of how I'm going to make it that it shouldn't crack. Answering the question. The basic question was, is that, aren't you afraid that what you're doing is going to potentially break the thing, which is what you're saying, okay? But Rabbi Belsky had a second, Rabbi Belsky's trying, we can defend him a little bit. If the idea is, if you have such a contraption, that it goes right on there, and you can't go wrong, so to speak, then it wouldn't be a problem. But what you're arguing back is, which is correct, is that most housewives would look at this thing and say, very nice contraption that you have over there, but I'm afraid that it's going to break. Right? Okay, are we finished? Are we finished? Can we stop? Because I'm afraid it's going to break. And his other idea has a different value to it. His other idea was like this. Take, if you have, something that looks like about coasters made out of marble. They're like little round discs, okay, made out of marble.
You put like cups on it?
You can put hot cups onto it, yes. Or, they come from is when they make someone a marble countertop, they have to cut out the circle for the faucet. So those circles, that's what they are. Okay, so you put something like that, and something that can handle heat, okay, and you put those, a bunch of those on the glass stovetop, and you put a full block on top of it. So what that'll do is, that'll again trap heat under it, but leave plenty of room for heat to escape, so it won't build up so much heat and it won't crack the glass. Okay, because if you put down a whole glass over there, because Rabbi Brander's with this big tent of foil, what do is more of a chassis, it'll drop down to the thing. A blech is a nice solid piece and it has these coasters holding it up, so it'll, again, Rabbi Shechter to both of these was not so thrilled, because he still doesn't get the point. Aren't you in the end taking a chance on this thing? not that he's worried about your money, is that really you're going to be nervous and you're not going to do a good job, okay? So I have to just mention that this thing about the coasters, I am not telling you to do this at home, but there's a shiloh for people who have these glass stovetops, what to do for Shabbos, okay?
And you put a block on it.
Now, you don't have to put a block. You could be Samech on the Ramah, or the second day, and just leave your food on from before Shabbos that is completely cooked and never do chazar. I'm not saying there aren't ways to leave food onto the fire, but if you want to have a block, okay, which most people want to have a blech, even like that. So if you want to have a blech, how are you going to put a blech on it? You're not allowed to put a blech onto this thing. Okay, that's the company will tell you flat out you should not put a blech on it.
Put it high enough.
No, put it high enough.
Put it high enough.
Yeah. What do you put it high enough?
Well, for the course of something.
Right. Put it. Right, I'm saying, so this idea of putting something onto it, you know, lifting it up, I don't know if I would do it for kashrut, where you cover the whole thing. But you could potentially do it for part of it. I mean, instead of covering the whole blech, there's four burners. Maybe you cover one or two of them with this thing, with the coasters lifted up, to give more room for it to spread out, not to build up so much heat under it. I'm not saying you should try.
Does that work in Shabbos? If you cover part of the oven, the whole stove is hot now. Everything is hot.
Okay.
No matter, you could cook anywhere in the stove. You're covering here, but I'm not using here.
You can't cook on the oven. Where the fire is, where the coils are underneath it, that's very hot for cooking. But beyond that, there's a certain amount that heat spreads. It's just it's a thing that heat does spread through it.
What's I don't know if you can clean.
Yeah, because it's very pretty and clean. Yeah, because you just wipe it down and it doesn't, you know.
Can you use, you know, you're in a hotel and they have this thing in the suite or something like that. Can you use it if you're careful and you're not going to drink and put it on?
You want to say you're going to put the food right onto this thing?
No, a pot.
A pot onto the thing, onto the stove.
I mean, that's the thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Let me stop now. We'll stop here for now. Okay. Thanks.